From the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to pull out a little way from shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. And this is the gospel of the Lord. In one of Charles Schulz's cartoons, we find Snoopy sitting atop his doghouse. He's got his angler's cap on. He has his rod and reel in his hand, and his line is dropped expectantly in his water bowl. Linus comes along and catches the scene and says, "What are you fishing for? Compliments?" And as he walks away laughing, Snoopy thinks, "I hate jokes like that." Fishing is a difficult thing to do. Years ago, for about 4 or 5 years running, I used to go to Canada with a bunch of my friends, and we'd go fishing. One of the things I learned on those fishing trips is that if I had been living in a hunter-gatherer society, I would be a very thin man. Because to fish successfully, you have to do a lot of things right, and then there's no guarantee. So you have to have, for example, the right gear. You know, if you're fly fishing, you need a fly rod. If you're fishing in the deep sea, you need a deep sea thing. If you're fishing on a river like we used to do up in Canada, you still need the right rod and reel and line and stuff like that. Then you need the right thing to lure the fish to your hook. So some fish like flies and some fish like worms. You just have to know what your particular fish is hungry for. But you also have to know where the stinking fish are. You can't drop your line in the middle of the river and say, "Well, I hope they're here." So you need the right guide. Because the guides, at least the guides we have had up in Canada, we got one for a day and they'd say, "Well, no, this time of day they're in the weeds. You gotta fish the weeds." And with all of that help, I still never caught anything. Because fishing can be a very frustrating thing. The fish used to like it when I fished. They felt very safe. In the gospel today, we see two boatloads of professional fishermen. Peter and his brother and James and John, these guys knew how to fish. They were commercial fishermen. They were good sailors. They knew when to fish. You fish at night. They fished all night with nets because nets were the best way to catch a good haul of fish. And on this particular day, even though they knew how to sail, they knew the right places, they had the right gear, they fished all night and they came up empty. And they came back and they were tired, and they probably wanted a good night's sleep. And the last thing on earth they wanted to do was stay by their boats any longer than they had to. So they're washing their nets, they're getting ready to go home, and along comes Jesus. Now, Peter knows Jesus a bit. Jesus had already preached at the synagogue in his hometown, Capernaum. And after preaching in the synagogue where he cast out a demon, he went back to Peter's home and cured Simon's mother-in-law. So in a way, Peter is conversant with Jesus and his wonders. But he's still not on the hook. He's interested, though. So Jesus is coming. The crowds are following him. They're pressing him on the shore. Jesus sits in the boat and says, "Hey, can you take me out a little bit?" So he does it. And Jesus preaches. He finishes preaching. They come back to shore. Now Peter at last is going to be able to put his nets away, go home, get some sleep, and come back the next day and maybe catch fish. But no. Jesus, a carpenter, right? A guy who preaches in synagogues, but who has never perhaps put a net in his hand. Jesus says to these professional fishermen, "Let's go out, lower your nets for a catch." And Simon Peter says to himself, "I am sure this guy doesn't know what he is talking about, but I like him." See, Simon is at a crossroads right now because Jesus is asking him to do something that he considers utterly ridiculous. Simon knows fishing. Jesus knows Torah. Simon knows fishing. So Jesus asks him to do something. Simon thinks it's ridiculous, but he does it. Why does he do it? He does it because at some level of his being, he trusts and likes Jesus. And so he will go someplace where he doesn't think he needs to go and do something he doesn't think he needs to do. And maybe he'll come up empty. He probably will, he's thinking, but he's willing to give it a try. This is a little sidebar here. Jesus often asks us to do the same type of things. He often says to us in an inspirational sort of way, "Why don't you go and help out at a meal for the homeless? Why don't you say something nice to that kid who just served you coffee at the coffee shop? Why don't you call up your elderly neighbor just to check in, a little wellness check?" And you're thinking to yourself, "I don't know why I'm thinking I should do this, but isn't that the voice of the Lord saying to you, do something kind, do something good, do something that maybe you wouldn't naturally do, but you can." So out goes Peter with his nets. He puts them down, and to his utter amazement, there are so many fish in his net that he can't get them into one boat. He calls James and John in their boat. They got two boats out there. They're filling them up so heavily with fish that the two boats darn near sink. This is a miracle of abundance. This is God saying, in a miraculous way, "My abundance is at your disposal. When you let down your nets where I tell you to let down your nets, watch and see how full they get. Watch and see what a great catch you'll have." Never forget that God surrounds us with abundance. All we need to do is look for it and see it. right? If the psychologists will tell you that on our best day, we're aware of about 10% of the beauty that surrounds us. 10%! That's 90% we're missing. Or, as I've often quoted before, Barrett Browning, Earth's crammed with heaven. But you have to see it to realize that you are in the presence of the holy. And that's what Peter realizes. He sees these fish and he recognizes that they shouldn't be there. That this is a miraculous catch of fish. And he calls Jesus Lord. He says, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man. When we are in the presence of the holy, it is natural to be aware of our sinfulness. If Jesus were to walk into this church in bodily form, right through those back doors, we would feel, each one of us, two overwhelming feelings. The first feeling we would feel is overwhelming love. We would feel loved better than we have ever been loved ever before. It would be breathtaking, because there's no way I can really explain it except to say we've never experienced something as overwhelming as this. And at the same time, that love would convict us. And we would feel how small we are in the presence of so great a love. We would feel our sinfulness. We would feel our mistakes and our brokenness. We would feel how we have failed to love the lover back. That's how we'd feel. And we may say with Simon, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful person. Because we all are. We all are. And to that, Jesus would say, as he did to Simon, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid of going fishing. Don't be afraid of going out in the waters. Don't be afraid of the world that surrounds you. Don't be afraid of political powers. Don't be afraid of anything, because I am with you. And when I am with you, who can be against you? So do not be afraid. And then he says, from now on, Peter, you will be fishing for men and for women. You will be the fisher of souls. And doesn't Jesus ask us to join that same fishing trip? Doesn't he say to us too, you who have your faith because of Peter and Andrew and James and John and what they witnessed and how they lived and how they shared the message of good news, we have faith because they had faith that they passed down from generation to generation to generation. And finally it lands with us, and we've got to pass it down too. We've got to go fishing. Luke says they immediately left everything to go and follow Jesus. We haven't left much, have we? We still cling to a worldliness that makes us want stuff, that makes us afraid to live a righteous, courageous lifestyle in the face of a conventional wisdom that is nothing less than evil. We have to leave the world. We have to leave its values. We have to leave the crazy things it makes us want. We have to leave the desire to fit in, to go along, to get along. We have to find our courage to stand up to evil, because there's loads of it. And if we don't stand up to it, who will? And if we don't do it now, when will we do it? When will we do it? This gospel challenges us to courage. It asks us to go fishing. We need the right stuff to go fishing. You know what the right stuff is? Well, it starts with a Bible, probably. That's your tackle box, right? Then you need the right equipment. The right equipment is you. You are the right equipment. You need the right temperament, and the temperament is patience. Remember what Paul says, love is patient and love is kind. How about that for lures? Because we will catch fish not by our talking about it, not by what we, and I'm not saying we shouldn't speak up, but you catch souls by living righteously, by living in love, by living with patience, by loving in kindness, and by being publicly Christian. You know, we're taught to be so stinking tolerant. Don't tolerate the intolerable. And never be ashamed of Christ. You know, I do this radio show every week. I'm not afraid to talk about Jesus on it. I don't care if my Jewish listeners don't like it. They should understand just as I understand the rabbis who I interview. We need to be proud of our Christ. That's how we fish. He's the best thing the world has going for us. And today in this gospel, he invites us to go fishing. Not for compliments, not for fish. He invites us to go fishing for souls. He invites us to share our faith with others. He invites us to leave everything of the world behind to come and follow him. Amen.